chapter number 2, and we'll pick back up kind of where we left off. And you pray for us again tonight. Lord, help us. And we desperately need your prayers tonight as we look into this. I studied this week before last. Boy, last week was good. I'm telling you, God moved in. We tipped the honey bucket. We just kicked the honey bucket out the door, amen. Spilled it everywhere. It's good, amen. I appreciate God moving in last week. And thank God for what he did. Took us a little different direction. But week before last, we looked in at the disciples there. We preached on, we've been talking about in the last two verses there in the chapter number 2, in verses 24 and 25, about that God knows us, and I'm glad God knows us. And we told you, first of all, he knew all those ones that were sitting there buying and selling the sacrifices and desecrating the house of God. If you want to let me put it that way, I will remind you of one thing here that has just stuck out to me tremendously about how he drove them out. He drove them out of the house of God. That scares me to death when I read that scripture. Another scripture that scares me is that when I mentioned to you about where he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And I made the statement there, if you look in the scriptures, the only place those statements are found is to those that are religious, if you will, those that were in the temple, those that were thought they were saved, thought they were doing right, but they were not. The Bible says in the scriptures over there in the book of Proverbs, he says there's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, that's scary, folks. I'm going to be honest with you. If you'll let that sink in just a minute, that's scary, okay? That'll cause us to examine ourselves. There's a way that seems right. It looks right. I mean, in all aspects, it would appear like it's right. But down at the end, it's the ways of death. And that's scary. And I'm going to be honest with you. In the day and time we're living, I believe there's that type of stuff everywhere you look. I believe it's all around. I do. I believe it's everywhere you look. And I believe as we look around us and we think about that scripture, and then we think about these over here in the these that were buying and selling the sacrifices, they were in the same shape. That's where they were at. They thought they were doing good, maybe thought they were in the right place. There's even in the temple. There's even in the house of God, but they wasn't right. Now, I believe, you listen to me tonight very closely, I believe there's folks tonight sitting on our Baptist pews tonight that are lost, dying, and going to hell. I believe that. They've been fed a counterfeit by the devil. They've went up and maybe said a little old prayer, or maybe repeated after somebody, or maybe even filled out a card. But they're sitting there on the pews dead. They may not have it down deep inside of them. I don't know why the Lord's having me to go here tonight, but I do believe tonight that's actually happening in our churches today. And if it wasn't right here, it wouldn't be in the Word of God. Amen. That's why I do believe that. But we looked at a lot of that a few weeks ago. Then we looked at the disciples there. The disciples, how God knew them, or just Jesus knew exactly all about them. And I said this, he knew them at the beginning of their ministry when he called them. And he knew them at the end. He knew they were going to need something all the way through. And one thing that they were going to need to see, that Jesus was the final authority all the way through. Now, I said that to say this, and I'm going to ask you to stand here in just a minute. We'll read some scripture, but I want to give you a foundation here before we go any farther. There is a problem with authority today. There is a problem with authority in the day and time we live, okay? Folks don't want to, if you will, submit to the authority that's supposed to be, amen? The authority that's there, God's authority, if you will. I was down in Ralston there this afternoon at a project down there, and I was coming back up through there, up 74 there, got behind this car there, and on their bumper there, it said, resist. And that was just a thought, that just the thing that it said is resist. And as I rode by that, and my mind was on this message, and I thought, God help us, that's the world today. Resist. And God's authority is still there, church. Amen. You may not bow today, but there'll be a day when you will bow. Amen. Listen, God's authority is real. He has the final authority, and it is over each and every one that ever has been or ever will draw breath. Amen. He has the final authority. Whether we give it to him or not, he does have that final authority. And one reason that I mention this is that if we look at what he did there in the temple, and he went there and he scourged and he cleansed the temple there. And boy, there's four, like I said before, there's four different types of people there
There's the ones that bought and sold. There's the disciples. There's the Jews. And then there's the believers, all four of them. And all four of them kind of stood back and looked. It's like, wow, what authority. Wow, why does he do this? Wow, what is he doing? I mean, why in the world would he do this? But it was because he had the authority to do it. Amen. He had that authority to do it. So I will be alluding to a little bit more of that as we look into this. But tonight we want to pick up verses 24 and 25 again. Then we'll jump back up a little bit in the scriptures. Let's stand, if you will, for the reading of God's word. And we'll look at a few of these things. We find there the disciples knew several things about this. But God noting there, Jesus needed them to know that he had the final authority over everything throughout their life. It'll be a good day in your life when you figure out God's got authority over your life. Amen. I didn't get too many amens right there. Evidently, somebody did agree with me there. Can I say that one more time? It'll be a good day in your life when you realize God has the final authority over your life. Now, I'm not going to say that you're not going to rebel. And I'm not going to say you're not going to do things you shouldn't do. But when you really realize that God's got authority, it'll be a good day because you'll submit to that authority more. Amen. And I believe that. Notice with me verse 24, 25 here. The Bible says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. I noticed the last part of this, God gave me this this evening as I was looking back over this. Did you notice verse 25, the way this reads? He says there, and needed not that any should testify of man. In other words, he didn't need nobody to tell him what man's like. Amen. He didn't need nobody to come by and tell him what Peter and John was like. Amen. He didn't need nobody to come by and tell him what maybe somebody over here, Mary, or somebody over here, Mary, might see any of these. He didn't need nobody to tell him. He knew. Amen. He knew this. Can I say this? I don't know why in the world the Lord wants me to go right here. So let me just go ahead and get off my heart here what God's giving me. God don't need tattletales. Amen. God don't need tattletales. Amen. He already knows your heart. Amen. You can hide everything you want to from the preacher. And listen, but he knows. Amen. He knows everything about it. He don't need nobody to tell, okay? He knows everything about it. Jump back with me, if you will, verse 18, 19, and 20. I want to read this before we pray. He says, "You then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, sir, for just allowing us an opportunity to come back in your house. Thank you, Lord, for being able to feel your presence tonight. Thank you for what you're already doing. God, I give you glory. I give you honor tonight. Lord, I know I'm not worthy nor able, God, to be able to stand here tonight. Father, you know my frame. And God, you know me tonight, Lord, that I need your help. God, forgive us, Lord, of all the things that might hinder us tonight. Lord, I pray you touch the hearts of your people. Lord, forgive them of anything that might hinder, Lord, here tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you take the devil and his imps, his demons, Lord, away from this place tonight. Lord, remove them, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. God, I ask you, Father, that you take the reading of your word, Lord, and help us, Lord, you'd reach down in our hearts and you'd help us, Lord, tonight to put that word inside of us and keep it there, Father. Lord, I do pray. God, help us tonight, Lord, to be obedient to thy spirit. Lord, I need special touch tonight. I need a fresh oil tonight. God, I need your unction tonight to be able to say a word. And I'm begging you, God, you'd move in our midst tonight. Do that, Lord, needs to be done. Father, have your will and your way. God, we'll give you praise that you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to look tonight at a group of people again. As I said the other week, there's four groups of people that I find here in this scripture. Those that are buying and selling the sacrifices. And I guess we could actually break them out, if you will, into two different groups there in that. But I believe we'll find four different categories there. The ones that are buying and selling,
the ones that, the disciples there, the ones that's following Jesus. And then we find also the Jews. Then we'll find at the end of the chapter there, verse 23, we'll find the believers. And the things we need to look at about these four different groups here is that Jesus knows which group you're in. And Jesus knows everything about each group. Amen. Church, I'm going to be totally honest with you right here. I don't know why for the last few weeks that God has really laid upon our heart and burdened our heart with the thought that He knows us, but He has burdened my heart with that, and I have not been able to get rid of that, and it's here again tonight, okay? So if you get tired of it, you're just going to have to turn me off or turn the Lord off, amen, because I'm going to preach it tonight, amen? I'm kind of like the preacher. He preached about 6 months on repent. And they got there one Sunday morning, and he come over to the pulpit and looked, and somebody had put a note there and wrote on there, said, "We want you to preach on something other than repenting." And the preacher reached over and he grabbed his paper and he said, "When you repent, I will." Slid it back in his Bible and started preaching on repent. Amen. So it's kind of the way I feel tonight, okay? It's God's laid it upon our hearts, just the thought about He knows us, okay? And He knows you. He knows everybody. He knows each and every one of us. And if we, as we broke these down, He knew the things that they were doing. He knew exactly the things, the sacrifices they were selling. He knew those that were by. He knew even the disciples. The disciples knew what they needed. He knew everything about it. He knew what they were thinking in their mind. As if you notice verse number 17 there, he says there, "And his disciples remembered that it was written." In other words, he knew that they was going to remember that scripture that was written down back there. And that's the reason that he was doing what he was doing, that he wanted them there with him to see exactly what he was doing, that he had the authority to do that. So I say one more time, it's an authority thing, okay? It's an authority thing, and if we'll realize that God knows us, we will submit to His authority. Amen. I do believe that. But tonight, let's look at verse number 18. The Bible says here, "Then answered the Jews." Now, I want to point out right here before we go any farther, He did not say the priests. He did not say those that were buying and selling the sacrifices. I've read this scripture many times, and through my ministry, looked at it several times through my ministry, and I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Mike, I had in the back of my mind that he was talking to those maybe that he drove out, or maybe the ones that were still left in the temple there. I don't believe so, because the Bible takes here, and if you'll notice in your King James Bible there, he uses a group of people, or a nationality, if you will, or somebody that is acquainted with the Jewish people, if you will. That's who he specifies there, if you will. And he said there, "And the Jews answered," okay? So I don't believe it was just the priests. I don't believe it was just the ones that were, if you will, around the outside. But I believe maybe whenever Jesus took there and run those animals out of the temple there and run the people out, overturned the money changers and all that, I believe it made a turmoil, amen. I believe there's a riot going on, amen. I believe you could see it from all around, everywhere. I believe you could see what was going on. You say, "Preacher, I don't know if I agree with that." Well, you think about all the animals they had in there. And somebody walk in the temple there and go to driving them out, it'd look like a stampede, would it not? I mean, those people are running out of there everywhere, out of every door. It'd look like a stampede out there, amen? And the people, I got a picture in my mind of the people on the streets there looking at the temple thinking, "What in the world is going on in there? What in the world is happening? Why are they running out of this place? Why are they trying to run away from that?" Hey, I got to thinking about this. Thank you, Lord, for the thought. I got to thinking about how when Jesus moves inside our church, you know what He'll do? He'll get that bunch that ain't right with God. He'll either run them out or they'll get right with God one. Amen. You know what revival is? That's exactly what it is. It's when God's people go to getting right with God, and they'll either get right or get out one. Amen. They can't stick around. Amen. They'll begin to run. That's exactly what happened right here. But the thing I want you to see here is that it was a great turmoil, I believe. It was a great happening. It wasn't anything that just happened on the inside. But I believe all around, everywhere people were standing, I believe they saw those folks running out. The sacrifice is running out. And then the Bible says here in verse number 18, "Then answered the Jews." In other words, the Jews, in other words, those that were around. Now, I'm going to be honest with you right here. We could have looked at a lot of different people right here, we'll say the Jews. I mean, we could look at a lot of different nationalities, but he said the Jews. We could have looked at a lot of different, if you will, those that were a part of this family and a part of that family. We could trace it all the way down to the 12 tribes there of Abraham. We could look at all those things and we could line it up that way if we want to. But the main thought is this, they were just Jews. Amen. I believe there's once some all around in that city there of Jerusalem where I believe they were from. They say, oh, preacher, why in the world would that matter? Why in the world would that make a difference? You got to understand now, these Jewish people, boy, they put a lot of stock in that temple. They put a lot of stock in that temple because it was a beautiful place. And boy, I'm telling you, it was something to behold. Amen. Do you remember the scripture over there where the disciples, even themselves, they were Jews themselves, say amen. The disciples themselves, they come out of the temple one day and they began to show Jesus exactly all about this temple. They began to show him how beautiful it was. And Jesus looked at him and said this. Jesus said, there's coming a day when there's not going to be one rock stacked on top of another rock, this thing. And it happened. Amen. It happened. But these Jewish people, they put a lot of stock in that place. They put a lot of, if you will, emphasis on this temple because their family had been maybe raised around, maybe their family had been put in, had been going to that temple all their lives. Boy, they put a lot of stock in this place. And for a man to walk in and go to cleansing the temple and go to running folks out and go to cleansing it, man, somebody's going on, something's going on. Amen. There better be a reason he's doing this. Amen. That's what they're thinking in their mind. Boy, they got to be a reason he's doing this. But what they didn't realize, this was the Son of God doing this. This was the man that had all authority to do this, okay? And so they need to see that. Now, again, we could look at these Jewish people here, and we could say, would everybody agree with me right here and say most of these, we could say was lost. Amen. I believe we could say that it's lost. You say, preacher, how do you figure that? Well, if we look there, I believe they're asking for a sign. Amen. We'll get into that here in just a minute. I don't believe they knew who Jesus was. I don't believe they had faith there. I don't believe they had that. I believe we could look at these folks and say, well, they're just ordinary folks. Everybody agree with me there? I'm going somewhere with this, okay? I believe we could say they're just ordinary folks. I might go as far to even say there might have been a few drunkards in there. Amen. They might even be a few harlots in there. You remember the woman at the well? Amen. I mean, we could look at a lot of different people, but what I want you to see is these Jewish people here, it's a great multitude of mixed people. It ain't just one, it's all. Amen. And the Jewish people from around this place, they all come together, and what do they want to know? What sign you going to give us? What sign you going to give us? Preacher, what are you saying? Am I reading a newspaper? Sounds like today, amen? Sounds like today. Everybody today wants something big. Huh? They want something big. They want something different, amen? They're wanting a sign. And Jesus says there'll not be a sign given, amen? Notice with me in the scriptures here. The Bible says in verse number 18, the Bible says this, then answered the Jews, and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? You know what I see right here? I see right here, and I'm going to make a statement right here, they feel like they're due something. They feel like they have a right to know. Would everybody agree with me there? They walk up and they say, just show us a sign. Why are you doing these things? Show us a sign. Whose authority you have to do this with. They feel like they have a right to see that. Ain't that where we're at today? I'm going to be honest with you right here. I get sick and tired of hearing about rights. Amen. I get sick and tired of hearing about somebody say they deserve this and they deserve that. If you realize the final authority, you realize you deserve hell. And it's nothing more than the grace of God that we even breathe today. It's nothing more than the grace of God that he's even allowed us to live. Amen. It's his mercy and his grace. He ain't took us all out. Amen. Listen, we don't deserve anything today other than hell. Amen. Listen, we want to say today we've got rights. You ain't got no rights. Amen. Listen, he's the one's got rights. Amen. We need to submit ourselves completely to him. Amen. And wholly to him. Amen. Does the Bible not say we are bought with a price and we are not our own anymore? Amen. That's what he said. But these Jewish people here, they had a, felt like they had a right. Well, what? Why in the world are you doing this? Show us. Why are you doing these things? Jesus there gives them a reason. Notice with me in verse number 19. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself right here, but that'll be all right. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. In other words, what he was saying there, he's wanting them to see how much authority he does have, how much power he does have. Now I realize he was talking about the body, according to verse number 21 there, but he's not he was also talking about the temple. He could have done that with the temple, amen? He could. But these Jewish people want to see something that would show them that he has authority. They wanted to see some great miracle there. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, if you will. Chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Hold your finger back there in John. We'll get back there in a minute. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 38. Find your place, say amen. Amen. Bible said verse 38 here. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Well, here's another place, looking for a sign. If you'll notice in this scripture, though, it's not the Jews. It's the Pharisees and the scribes is the ones that's wanting to see a sign. Notice verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth, in the heart of the earth. He's telling them here an evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign. In other words, they don't believe, okay? Can I split it that way? An evil and adulterous generation, they don't believe. I got to say one more time, I had no idea I was going out here with all this, but we're right there, church. An evil and adulterous generation. They're everyone seeking after a sign. Amen. Again, they're wanting something big. And he says there's not going to be a sign given, okay? The sign has done come. I say, glory to God. The sign, can I say that one more time? The sign has done come. We celebrated it last Sunday, okay? The sign has already been here, amen? He said there will be a sign. And notice in that verse I read to you there, verse number 39, he said there'll not be a sign given, but, in other words, he said, here's the sign. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, he said, so shall a son of man be in the heart of the earth. Amen. He said, that's the sign. If you notice back in the book of John, I read to you there just a minute ago, what he's saying there. He said, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days, he said, I'll raise it again. You know what I find common denominator out here is the resurrection. Amen. There's a sign given today, and that sign is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That evil and adulterous generation, they ain't going to see that. They're looking for something else. Hey, but I'm glad I know the resurrection today. Amen. I'm glad I can say the resurrection is the sign. Amen. And I realize there's a lot of folk ain't going to see it. But boy, I'm glad God let me see it one day. Amen. I'm glad he did. But I notice here he said an evil and adulterous generation wants a sign. I thought in my mind as I was reading this, and I've studied this for a few weeks, Look back over the last 2 nights. I've been in my study and I've been looking at it. And I'm going to be totally honest with you as I read this here. I think in my mind, an evil and adulterous generation, they look for a sign. They're looking for something in church. I'm going to be honest with you, that's where we're at today. They're looking and looking and looking, but they're not finding. I mean, I look into folks' eyes sometimes out there, even like in Walmart or on the streets or somewhere, you look into their eyes and it's just empty. It's look like there's a hollowness there or something they're looking for. Amen. They're trying to find it in drugs and alcohol and pornography and all these other things, and they're trying their best to find something that'll fill that up. When Jesus said the only sign you're going to see is the sign of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only thing we need today. Amen. Church, we have what the world needs. Amen. And you know what we do a lot of times? We keep it right in here. Amen. We ought to take it out there. Amen. If you've got something the world needs, you ought to take it to them. Say amen. I believe tonight we ought to give them Jesus. Can I say to you one more time? Jesus saves. Can I say it one more time? Jesus saves. He proved that just the other week. Amen. Thank God he saves today. Amen. He's still in a soul-saving business. The world out there would have you believe that there's no use to go any farther. We just wells to toss in the towel. We just wells to give up. Hey, church, we ain't giving up. We're going home. Amen. One of these days we're going to heaven. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to take as many with me as I can. Amen. I want everyone to go with me. Amen. I believe that. As we look in this scripture, I look at the Jewish people there. It's not the priest, but it's all of them. And all these people, they look for a sign to see something great. I had a fella tell us one time, it's been a long time ago, he said this, said, I just don't know about that blind faith. Just don't know about that blind faith religion. And I thought, when he said that, I thought, Brother Jim, I thought, what in the world are you talking about? Blind faith. I don't know about you, but I've got faith. But my faith ain't blind. I've seen God move. I've seen it, amen. Hebrews chapter number 11 says over there, I believe it is, he says over there, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. I've got faith, but boy, I've seen God do miracles. Amen. I've seen God do great things. It ain't blind faith, church. Oh, no, I ain't looking for a sign. I done seen his work. Amen. I done seen his deeds. I done seen what he does. Amen. I'm not looking for a sign. I'm looking for him. Amen. Thank God tonight, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I, in whom I believed, what Paul said, I know in whom I believed, now persuaded, he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Amen. I say glory to God for that. I know it tonight. Amen. I've thought a lot about this. I could ask you several, use examples after examples after examples tonight. One I like to use as maybe some sign that folks would look at. Why are you sitting in your pew tonight? What is it that holds you down in that pew? Why ain't you just floating around? Gravity. Thank you, gravity. Now, who told you about gravity? Now, everybody's like, what? Bobby English? Fifth grade teacher? Exactly. Where'd she get that? Book. Thank you. I don't know who said that, but book. Who wrote the book? A man. Huh? You see where I'm going with this? But oh, everybody will believe gravity. Oh, I know gravity. Oh, it's got to be gravity. Amen, it's got to be gravity. You see what I'm saying? But we've been taught that out of a book. We've been taught that. But we just take it for granted because it's a book. Amen? Am I right? Y'all looking at me like a calf in Newgate, like I'm crazy. I believe it. Amen? So really, if you look at it in that way, gravity is blind faith. Believing in gravity, you sitting in that pew. I ain't seen none of you float up yet, okay? Listen, gravity is believing in it, blind faith, amen? Why in the world can't we believe in the resurrection? Why in the world can't they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why in the world can't they believe in that? Listen to me tonight. That precious book right there. Preacher, how do you know there's a God? That precious book tells me there's a God. But you know the thing about it is, if I didn't have that book, I'd still know there's a God. I could still tell there's a God, amen. I still know he's real, amen. If there wasn't a book, I still know he's real. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, let's don't look for a sign. An evil and adulterous generation looks for a sign. I ain't looking for no sign. I'm looking for the real thing. and I've got the real thing. Amen. I've got him tonight. Amen. Don't be looking for no sign. You say, preacher, I'm saved tonight. Well, that's good. I'm glad you are. Don't be looking for no sign. Preacher, I'm not saved tonight. Well, I wish you was. Tonight's a good night to get saved. Amen. If you'll come up here, I'll take the word of God and show you how to be saved. But don't look for no sign. Amen. We need to look for the resurrection. Amen. You see where I'm going to this? I believe as we look here, there'll not be a sign given other than the resurrection. Now, listen to me. I'm going to make a statement right here. I'll try my best to go a little farther here in this, try to move on. Would everybody agree with me right here? The resurrection shows his authority. Would everybody agree with me there? Would you even go farther than that with me and say his resurrection shows authority over everything and over everybody and over Does the Bible not say he descended, got the keys of death, hell, and the grave, come back out, amen, ascended into the heavens, amen, sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me today? If that don't show authority, I don't know what does. Amen. I thank God for his authority. So I say again, it's all about his authority. And the sign that they want to see was not a, they didn't want to see a sign of authority. They didn't want to see a sign of him being having the authority over death and over hell and over the grave and over everything in the universe. They didn't want to see that sign. That sign was what was given. But what they wanted to see was some kind of miracle that they could see with their own eyes that would reveal to them who he was. And he said, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of the resurrection. Amen. Oh, thank God for the resurrection. You need a sign? Just look to the resurrection. Amen. Just look to him. Amen. Let me move on. Not only do we find this was the Jewish people, it was a group of people. Let me say this too. God knows my heart right here. We can all put ourselves in this position. We can all put ourselves in the group of the Jews because they were all different people. They were from different tribes. They were from different areas. They're from everywhere. But they were all coming together and asking, where's the sign? That sign is none other than the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They wanted a sign. I want you to notice with me as he says, verse number 19. Jesus answered and said unto them again, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Notice, if you will, in verse number 20, I don't know exactly what to put it here. I'm going to say the pride of the Jews. He said, then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now listen to me tonight. I want to give you this, and I'll probably close right here. I thought about the pride that they had in their life, if you will, or in their heart when they said this. They were looking, again, as I said a minute ago, I believe the temple was a prized possession of them. I believe the temple was a place where they went to, and if you will, and they put it as a special place in their city. As they looked there, when he said those words, he looked and said, 46 years it took us to build this. 46 years it took men to work and to build this, and you're going to rear it up in 3 days? You know what that is? That's the natural man thinking about heavenly things. Listen to me tonight, church. The things of God, you can't understand. The things of God, this, I'm going to be totally honest with you, boggles your mind. Was it Isaiah or Ezekiel? Somebody have to help me there. Said, his ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much greater than our thoughts. I heard a song the other day, yesterday, I guess it was. I'm about to come out of my skin. I had it on the radio there and talks in there. I believe it's McCamey singing it. He says, is there anything too hard for God? I had to say, glory to God, no. There's nothing too hard for him. But his thoughts are so much greater than our thoughts, and his ways are so much greater than our ways. I can't imagine, I mean, I just can't fathom how big God is, how great God is. But what you see right here in this scripture is a earthly people, a evil and adulterous people, and they're trying to understand heavenly things. They're trying to understand what God can do. They're trying to understand what Jesus can do. I'm going to be honest with you. I like this little analogy here. How can a black cow eat green grass and give white milk? I don't know. It's God. Amen. That's the way He set it up. That's all I can tell you. Amen. There's things that I don't understand, right? There's things you don't understand. Would you agree with me or say amen? Well, the same way about salvation. If I was to ask you tonight, those of you that are saved tonight, tell me how you got saved. You know what you do? You tell me you got out of your pew, maybe come up here in the altar, maybe kneel down, tell me what you prayed, tell me what you said. But how did you really get born again? How did you really get regenerated? Glad I can say the Holy Ghost. Amen. He drawed me. He birthed me. Amen. He sealed me. Glory to God. Somebody will shout right there. Amen. He done all that to me. But can I explain it to you? No. Can I explain to you why that God loves us as wretched as we are? No. Can't do it. Can't do it. Listen to me. Now, what I'm seeing here in this scripture is this: these Jews, they wanted to see a sign. And when he gave them the thought there of the temple, all they could see was through those earthly eyes. All they could see was through those physical eyes is all they could see. They couldn't see those heavenly things. You know, it's a good time in our lives whenever we get to the place that we just trust the Lord. We just trust the Lord. Brother Jim, can you tell me how God healed you of cancer? No, but He did. Brother Marshall, can you tell me how God healed you of cancer? But He did, didn't He? I could go around, I could ask each and every one of you that's had God move in your life, can you tell me how He done it? You'd say, no, can't tell you anything. But He did. Amen. Amen. Somebody say glory, hallelujah right there. I'm glad He does. Amen. I'm glad He does. What I'm trying to get you to see is they looked for a sign, but they were looking at that sign through earthly eyes. If we'll close our earthly eyes and get our spiritual eyes open, boy, we'll see some good things of God. Amen. We'll see who He really is and how big He really is. Oh, He's a good God tonight. Amen. I can't explain it to you, but I can tell you tonight it's real. Amen. It's real. How can a little old boy like I am stand behind a pulpit and feel the power of God and be able to preach like I do? It's Him. It sure ain't me. It's Him. It's what happens when we submit ourselves to Him. Amen. And if we'll do the same thing when we go out the doors, if we'll submit ourselves to Him, man, He'll bless our lives. Amen. He'll even save some very folk. Amen. He'll save our friends. He'll do those things if we'll just let God move and work. I look at this and I think in my mind, oh, what a sad generation. Oh, what a sad people right here in verse number 20. Oh, what a sad, arrogant people when they look and they'd say there, 46 years they built this thing. How in the world are you going to do that? They just can't believe. You ever had anybody like that? I have. But yet God can do. It is yet to be seen, church. I'll give you this and I'll close. It is yet to be seen what God can do. Listen, I've seen God move. I've seen some things in my ministry that I would have said there's no way in the world it could happen. I was down in Bowling Springs down there at the Jubilee one time. You probably heard me say this, probably one of the greatest services I've ever in my life. There's a missionary from Mexico down there, and he was trying to buy the property right there beside of his church because there's a brewery going to move in right there beside of his church and start making liquor and beer.